All right. Leaving it all on the field. The expression has been around for a while. Researcher Barry Popick traces it all the way back to a grueling game between the New York Giants and their arch rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. Syndicated sports writer Murray Olderman, wrote, "It was evident in that game that the Giants left it all on the field." Now, when you hear that expression, you know, what comes to mind, obviously, it means you give it all you got. You give it all you got. You leave it all on the field. Win or lose, you leave it all on the field. And when you study the life of Paul, men, which we are doing here today, you will see that our Lord made a very good call when he called Paul off the bench and put him in the big game. The game that Paul plays, men, is for real. It's for life or death. It's for heaven or hell. And in that game, the big game, Paul left it all on the field for the Lord. Open with me to the book of Philippians. Paul's relationship with the Philippians has been very special. It's been very special. They were the first group that he started when he went into Eastern Europe. He went into Philippi. It was his first stop with his, he had three or four guys with him. They went in, and he gave birth, working for the Lord. They gave birth to the work there, starting with three people. Lydia, a prosperous businesswoman, a dealer in purple linen. That means you're in the garment business. A jailer, a Roman jailer. His jailer, the guy that had tortured him in prison, and a slave girl who had a demonic gift of being able to tell fortunes. Paul shut her owners down, and they didn't like that a whole lot, so they threw him out of town with the help of the officials. So now he is writing to them, years later, from a Roman prison, after he gets a good report from their leader, Epaphroditus, who's the leader of God's people there in Philippi, who comes all the way across Europe, about 800 miles, just to minister to Paul, help meet his needs. And he gives Paul a very good report. Paul told him, or tells them in the first chapter, that he was confident that they would grow. I mean, he was only there a short time before they threw him out. But he said, when he wrote to him, in this letter, he said, in the first chapter, he said, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So he was confident that they would grow. Expectations is very important part of being a good pastor, right? So today we're at a part of the letter in chapter 2. Chapter 2, go over there with me. A part of the letter where he is encouraging them in this work that we're in called salvation. The tone of the whole letter is exhortation, which is stronger really than encouragement. It means to kind of push people along. Encourage them, yes, but push them along. Keep going. It's the way he's trying to, is what he's trying to get over here today. So he says in verse 12, 2:12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence," now he has been there three times. This is the third. He's after three visits there. He's writing now from Rome. So "therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Fear and trembling. Press on. Keep going. Live a disciplined life. Live a disciplined life. And what God is working in your life, work it out in those spheres around you. So as God's working in you, you're working out. Just get that picture in your mind. He says in verses 15 and 16, which will be our focus today, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not labor or run or labor in vain." Run or labor. Okay. We've got another great thought here. Running, laboring, continually pressing forward. Picture of earnest vigor, earnestness. You're taking this whole business of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're taking it serious. Think of making the first down when it looked like you were stopped at the line of scrimmage. In our case, you start your day with the Lord. Even though that siren song of the sports page or the Wall Street Journal editorial page is calling you, we get our signals out of heaven. Constant labor. Even when you don't feel like it, you spend time with your kids. Mix it up, men. Yeah, teach them about athletics and teach them about, what else do we teach them? Teach them about academics and sports, but teach them the Bible. Don't wait for a professional. Tell me your first name again.
Craig.
Don't wait for Craig to do the job. Get in there. Mix it up. Put them in environments that develop faith. And then Paul does something very beautiful here. He does something very beautiful, and I can't do it justice. One of the gurus that I rely on He says he thinks this is the most beautiful verse in the Bible. Verse 17 today. Or one of the most beautiful in the Bible. Verse 17, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Here's the picture. Let's see if we can get it over here today. Paul, he's a good Jew, like Jesus. Very Jewish. He's thinking of the whole sacrificial ritualistic system. And when the priest would put the sacrifice up on the altar, the lamb, and of course that's a picture for us of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But when he puts the lamb up on the altar and it's roasting on the fire, red hot coals, he takes a quart of wine and he pours the drink offering on it. And that drink offering goes up in smoke, steam and smoke. And then what Paul is saying here, here's what he's saying. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. So Paul sees his life, which he poured into these Philippians. He poured it in there. And he sees his life now, his faith, going up in smoke and steam, and what's left is the sacrifice and service of these people that he has led to Christ. It's the best I can do it. Once God plants a work like this at Philippi, or a work like this at On the Border, it goes out to places we would never even think about. Last night was the dinner for Heartbound Ministries. Heartbound Ministries, started by Andrea Sheldon, make sure that we have chaplains in all of our prisons. Do you know years ago there was a movement to get rid of all the chaplains in the state of Georgia, the Bible Belt? They were going to get rid of all the chaplains. Today, every prison in Georgia has a pastor, has a chaplain. And they make sure they're equipped with what they need to meet needs of the inmates. For instance, they have a program where the mothers, fathers, grandfathers, and grandmothers can read to their grandchildren and their children. So they set up studios, they get them a nice shirt or a dress so the kids are not looking at a prison uniform. That's a great program. Colin White's wife serves on that board. Colin is one of our leaders here. You see what I'm saying? It goes out. The faith and the sacrifice of your work, it goes out. Rachel Terry, Jeff Terry's wife, Jeff's not here today. She spoke this year. She brought beautiful testimony. Just Google that. The Atlanta Hospitality Prayer Breakfast. Beautiful testimony of how the Lord has taken her from hopeless insecurity to now she is a confident witness for Jesus Christ. It all started when Dave Dorries reached out to Jeff T. Terry, two men in the hospitality industry, and Jeff Terry walked through those doors 14 years ago, July of 2005. And that man and that family has never been the same. Couples working together, holding firmly to the faith, to the word of life. The word of life is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and don't forget it. I was with a woman the other day. I went to her shop. I said, "Tell me your name." "Christine." I said, "Where'd you get that name?" "It's a good entry point, right?" "Oh, well, we all have biblical names. You know, my brother's Paul, Joseph, then there's Hannah. Because my great-grandfather was a pastor over in Asia, and now we all have biblical names." That's not being a Christian. So I got her reading something. She's very interested. I have her reading that little book that I gave you here about a month ago. Men, the fields are white for harvest. Mixing metaphors here. The fields are white for harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest. He sent forth laborers who are going to leave it all on the field. Amen. Let's have prayer together this morning. Come on.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
Okay. Lord, we praise you this morning. We praise you for Paul. We praise you for the sacrifice you made. And then the men that followed after you have been drink offerings, pouring that drink offering on the basic sacrifice that you made for our sins. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your table this morning.